Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a paid program by the church, therefore the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fort Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy
Amen.
Scripture.
Amen.
With that being said, I'll give a fair day to
Timotheus.
To Mr. Jerry Scott.
Thank you, my brother. How are you today?
I am well. The sun just peeped out.
Oh, I love it.
I got in the truck this morning, and I do this many times. I tell you two things, just little reminders.
Yeah.
I was talking with a sister last night. She's talking about how beautiful the stars were in the sky.
Yes, sir.
And I said, I like doing that. So I went home, and I looked. Well, I come out of church. I looked up, and it was cloudy. Got home, I seen a little clearness in the clouds and looked up at the stars, and you know, I think sometimes the Lord just speaks to you through those things.
Yeah.
And then this morning I get up, I get in the truck, and I go to pull out, and there's clouds all over one part, but the sun was shining down, and I thought, just what a beautiful day.
Amen.
What a beautiful
day. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
So he is talking to us.
Amen.
That's
prove that.
As a matter of fact, that's one of the ways that we know there is a God. Now, it's not the way to salvation. But it is the way to know that there is a creator.
Yeah, for people to say, how do you even know there's a God?
Yeah,
you know,
Look around you.
I know we've got a couple of questions on the email, and I do want to give the phone number, 606-789-0318, 789-0318, if you want to call in with a question or if you'd like to email us. You can do that at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. I feel like I'm taking over the show here this morning.
Please do, Timotheus.
But I was pondering something, great Scott, and I was thinking about people that talk about evolution, maybe because you said, you know, that the heavens declare that there is a God. Some people don't believe there's a God.
Yeah.
So I thought about evolution, and I thought all the millions of years of how they say that the Big Bang Theory happened and this and that, and I thought, wonder what the answer would be if we asked them, well, what's going to be the end?
Yeah.
If we're evolving, I mean, if we go up and have an airplane keep dropping us out of the sky long enough, will we develop wings?
Come on.
If we trying to swim in the ocean, are we going to develop gills? Because basically that's what they're telling that happened to us.
Yeah.
I don't believe for a minute, I don't care how many millions of years, you take people up in an airplane, drop them out of the sky, they're not going to develop wings.
There's a law called the law of gravity that's going to take care of that.
But that's what they say has happened. We came from apes. We came, you know, fish maybe walked around at one time, and then they end. I mean, all this foolishness. But where's the evolution, and where does it end? So it just makes me. A thought come to my mind.
Did you just hear me take that drink of coffee?
I did.
It was kind of like the old Bill Barker, you know, when he would take a
radio
long,
Bill,
a slurping drink of coffee. Yeah, I thought of that just when I took that drink. Didn't mean to slurp in the listener's ears, but thought of Bill Barker. I'll tell you, Timotheus, folks could email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. And as you've mentioned already, we have a couple of emails. We'll take a look at those in just a second. But I'll tell you, we're never going to solve to everybody's satisfaction this thing, evolution versus creationism. Never going to happen. We're always going to have people who just won't believe. You see, Timotheus, if I start to believe, then I become accountable.
Yeah, amen.
And man just doesn't want to be accountable. That's all there is to it. We want to do our thing the way we want to do it. We don't want to have to bow to any body. But the scriptures teach that every knee will bow. God gives us an opportunity now to make the choice to bow now instead of then.
Yeah. Because you will.
You will.
Someday.
Every knee will bow.
Every tongue will confess.
That Jesus is Christ, is the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He says every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And so, you got an option. You know, you can do it now, or you can do it then. It's kind of like you can pay me now, or
pay me later. Now, you said accountable, and I agree wholeheartedly. Do you think that vulnerability, and that's a hard word for me to say,
you just did it,
would play into that as well? Does it make a person, they keep that guard up, and they say, there is not a God, and you're not accountable in this, that, then you're not vulnerable to the love and the softness and the kindness and the gentleness and the peacefulness of the Lord and Savior?
You may have touched on something there, Timotheus. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because correct. some people just, that way they're in control. If you're vulnerable, you're not in control so much.
Yeah. Actually, I was writing something down there and didn't get all of the point that you made. You know, like you do sometimes when I'm preaching.
How did you know? Did you see me?
Hey, Timotheus, here's a couple of questions we've got. Of course I see you.
Yeah, we better get to those.
Here's the first question this morning. This has to do with knowing each other in heaven. Yeah, this is a question that comes up a lot. People mm-hmm. wonder about these things. Yep. And you know, we're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And so image or imagination of God, God gave us his image and his imagination. And so he had to wonder about and think about all that he created. Sometimes I wonder why he created some of the things he did. What an imagination he has. Amen. But he gave that the part of that to us as well. So we imagine all kinds of things. Here's the question, Timotheus and listeners. What does the Bible say about knowing each other when we get to heaven? Will we know our family and friends as on earth? I hear people talking about meeting Moses and their mother or father and people from the past, but will they actually know that's who they are when they get to heaven? I've also heard that we will just be brothers and sisters and not know how we were related on earth.
Hmm.
Great. About a three-parter there.
Yeah. This is big stuff.
Yeah, this is big stuff. Yeah. So what does the Bible say about knowing each other in heaven? The Bible does indicate that we will, in fact, know each other in heaven. We're going to be, the Bible says, we're going to be raised in the likeness. The psalmist David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So we're going to be like Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you look at his resurrection body after he came out of the grave, he's walking down the road. Notice that, walking down the road.
Yeah, he's not hovering or flying.
Not hovering. Yeah. But he's walking down the road, on the road to Emmaus, the Bible tells us, and there are two guys walking along. Jesus joins them, and they're talking back and forth about the rumor that has been issued, decreed, that Jesus has arisen, and they're talking about this and all excited and hyper about it. And Jesus says, what is all this manner of conversation you're having? He pretended like he didn't know. He was testing them, not tempting them. Testing them.
Big difference.
And so they said, are you a stranger? And I'm making this very contemporary here, Timotheus. Are you a stranger in these here parts? Don't you know what's happened? That Jesus has been risen from the dead? They asked Jesus to come join them. He did. And then they recognized him as he was eating with them, blessing the food. And one of them turned to the other and said, did not our hearts burn within us? He had kept them from recognizing him, but he opened their eyes so that they could see. When they could discern who he was, he just vanished out of their midst, gone.
Yeah.
Jesus had a body, a spiritual body, of course, but yet a body much like the one he had when he was here. He could eat.
Mm-hmm.
And he could transport himself simply, it appears from Scripture, by thought.
Mm-hmm. He could speak. He could be heard.
Yeah. I think we're going to enjoy all of those things. I know this. After the resurrection, they assembled with the church. Then the 12, actually only 11 showed up. There was a straggler. He decided not to come to church one Sunday night. His name was Thomas.
Yeah.
And after Jesus was with them and they were so excited, they ran to tell Thomas, "Hey, Jesus, we've seen Jesus." He said, "I'm not going to believe a thing you say."
Yeah.
"Not until I put my finger in the nail print of his hand, thrust my hand in his side." The next Sunday night, he was there. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "Come on, Tom. Come on, Thomas. Didymus, you twin, you." That's what Didymus means, twin. "Come on over here. Put your finger here. Put your hand here." And all he could say was, "My Lord and my God."
Why do you think, Jerry, that when they saw, when Thomas, let's just say when Thomas saw him there, that he didn't recognize him? If we have a body that is like our body now, why wouldn't have Thomas recognized him when he first saw him?
Now, are you confusing the two men on the road to Emmaus who didn't recognize him? Because Thomas did, in fact, recognize him.
Well, when he came and put his hand.
No, he didn't. He didn't have to do it.
Oh, okay.
He said, "I'm not going to believe that he's alive until I put my finger there. I'm going to have to feel that. I'm going to have to see that." But when he got there, he said, "Oh, my Lord."
Oh, okay.
My God.
Okay. So he recognized him. I missed that point real quick.
So
okay.
The two men on Emmaus didn't recognize him because Jesus didn't want them to.
So he had control over what they would recognize and what he didn't.
He did with those two.
Yeah. Interesting.
But Jesus had a body just like the body he had when he left. Only now it's perfected. Jesus was always perfect, but he was perfect in a human body.
Mm-hmm.
When he arose in a spiritual body, and we don't really understand all of that, Timotheus.
And I don't think the Lord ever intended for us to understand it all.
I don't think he did either.
We'd mess it up.
We'd mess it up. That's where our faith comes in. So when we get to heaven, I think we're going to see Jesus.
Yeah.
As he was when he was here. I think we're going to see the nail prints in his hands.
Yeah.
There's never going to be any more sin in heaven, but I think the nail prints will represent and remind us for all eternity what he did for us and on our behalf.
And you think that's why the nail prints will still be there instead of it being perfect?
I do.
It's like a crown.
I do.
Yeah. Amen.
I believe that it'll always be a reminder. We're going to know other people in heaven. Well, the Bible says that we'll know even as we're known, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible also says in 1 John that chapter 3, that we shall be like, when he comes, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. That's where the old song comes. We'll be like him, we'll be like him. Remember that old song, Timotheus?
Mm-mm.
It's an old song.
Okay. I'm not that old.
And so, you're not supposed to lie. You can go to hell for that. Yeah, you can go to hell for that, you know. Anyway, we're gonna know each other, I think. I think we're gonna know our family members. We're all going to be in perfect bodies, but here's the thing: we're going to resemble, I think, Timotheus, you don't have to believe this, no one listening has to believe this, but based on my study at this point in my life, I think what I look like right now is going to be pretty much what I'm going to be in heaven, only I'm going to have a perfect body. And I'm going to be able to be like Jesus, our elder brother, our Savior, our Redeemer. I think I'm going to have hands. I think I'm going to have, because you see, Jesus, when he left here, the two angels there said to the men, the 11, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which you see go into heaven, shall appear in like manner as you see him go into heaven." So he's coming back the way he went, which means recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of folks believe that when little babies die, and let me be careful here.
Yeah, they're very sensitive.
Some of the most difficult funerals I've ever done in my life have been for little babies. I remember one we did for a little 8-month-old baby, 30 years ago, I guess. And this child looked like a little porcelain doll.
Yeah.
In a little pink casket. Beautiful little girl. And our oldest daughter at that time was an infant. And, boy, it was one of the toughest things I ever tried to do.
Yeah.
So I prayed this morning. Our youngest daughter lost a child, mm-hmm. and she would have named him Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
So every day when I pray that thank God for giving them Isaac in heaven, whom they will recognize as, I'm talking to God, dear Father, thank you for little Isaac, and whom we will recognize as you intended him to be had he lived. Now, what does that mean? Please call back, caller. I believe it means that for whatever reason, babies who die like that, miscarriages, whatever, they in heaven, I don't think heaven's going to be populated with babies, is what I'm saying. I think heaven's going to be populated with perfect people as God intended them to be. And I think every child that has died prematurely
mm-hmm.
in heaven will be in a perfect state as God intended that child to be had that child lived. That's what I believe. You see a lot of pictures of little babies with wings, little fat cherubs, you know, yeah. up there on clouds. That's just really not what the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible doesn't come right out and say,
mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people say, well, what about Solomon? I mean, what about David? His baby died, and he said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to where he is. Well, that's true, but that doesn't say anything about the baby staying
A baby. Yeah.
So, I you know, it's sad. Got to be careful here.
Yeah.
It's sad when we see someone born and there's some deformities, either physically or mentally, mm-hmm. and our hearts go out to those children and to the families. There's not a parent alive that would not have wished that the child could have been a normal child. Now they make the adjustment and they love the child and they care for the child, but it's a shame when a child's growth is stunted, isn't it?
Amen.
And so I think that's one of the things that tugs at our hearts when we see the Shriners commercials and the St. Jude commercials. Those little kids, we so wish they could have been what we would call, in quotes, normal.
Yeah.
They're more normal than we are because they have a precious spirit about them. But I think we all immediately, when we see that, go, how sad.
Yeah.
In heaven, it won't be that way.
Amen.
In heaven, we'll have perfect bodies. And I think we will know each other. I don't think Ann and I will be married in heaven, but I think we will have a special relationship because I do not believe that God who gave us the sun and the rain and the beautiful sky and the beautiful trees and the grass that we have to mow pretty often in the summer and fall. I mowed, I hope, for the last time last week. All of those beautiful things, I don't think God's going to just take away from us. So I don't think he's going to take the relationships away from us, but he's going to raise the bar, if I could say it that way. He's going to perfect them. We know there's not any marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. But that relationship, I believe, will be very special.
It will we be male and female as we know it, Jerry?
No, I don't think so.
Just like a neutral gender?
I'm going to stay away from that.
That's deep stuff.
Because the Bible does, in fact, tell us that there's neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
There's no marrying or giving in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is for a physical a need.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage bed is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, and also for procreation. We won't need those things then.
Yeah.
And so, no, I don't think we'll have that, but we're in areas here where we really just have to speculate.
Well, yeah, and you have to kind of think about when you tie in the emotional aspect of it, of grieving, you know, the no tears in heaven, the
yeah.
song says,
yeah.
You know, and you made a good point years back. We talked about, you know, how if you go to heaven and a loved one isn't there, and you're, how can you know that they're not in heaven and they have to be in hell, and how can you enjoy the riches or rewards and not be sorrowful for that person that didn't make it. And then you made a point by asking me if I had, you know, a good Christmas. And I said, sure. And you've lost loved ones. Yeah. Well, how did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Without grieving that loss. So I think that emotional aspect kind of ties in with it as well. I wonder if it won't be kind of like just taking, if your emotion was chalk on a board and just taking an eraser and just erasing that away. We won't even know about that anymore.
Well, that could very well be. Could very well be. I do know this, that man is a triune being. We're body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The body, of course, is obvious. The spirit is that God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life. He became a living soul. Mm-hmm. The spirit of God is that part of God that causes us to never die. The soul and the spirit are used often interchangeably in the Bible, but there's a difference in them. I believe the soul is the seat bed of emotions, of lust and greed and love and passion and compassion and mercy and all of those kinds of things. And we have a real problem with those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get out of control and we find ourselves in really bad fixes, bad situations. I think that the soul will also be perfected when we get to heaven. And we'll still have emotions, but those emotions will be perfect. It's difficult for us because we're earthbound.
And we're so limited.
But that's what I believe the Bible teaches about that.
And if you ever get confused, just look up at the sky at night, see the stars, and the Lord that we serve put those stars in the heaven.
He did.
He spoke them into existence.
Yeah.
And then you look at me
yeah.
and think,
wow.
Ooh, how limited I am.
Yeah.
So when you put that, you kind of take it in that context, and a little understanding comes.
Here's another thought, Timotheus. He named all those stars.
Amen.
Every star has a name.
Yeah.
God named every one of them. Napoleon and his men once were on a ship. They were going someplace, no doubt, to a conquest. And the men were talking about the fact that there was no God, and they were looking up at the sky. And couldn't be a God up there. There's no God up there. And Napoleon heard them, and he said, listen, before you dismiss God, you better do something with those. And he pointed to the stars.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say there's no God, then how'd those get there?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Here's the second question, Timotheus. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, this is a question that comes up a lot, and it should come up a lot. Because a lot of people are concerned about it and confused about it.
And these questions are why this show exists.
Absolutely. That's why we're here. Mark 16:16, the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. What about those who get saved but can't be baptized? Like people in wheelchairs or sick on their deathbeds. I know baptism doesn't save you. God saves you. But does the baptism part have to be fulfilled to get you to heaven? There's about a three or four part this question as well, Timotheus. So let's start at the beginning, which is always a good place to begin. But the Bible says in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Note the order. He who believes
mm-hmm.
and is baptized
mm-hmm.
shall be saved.
Yeah.
Let us point out at the very beginning, or almost the very beginning of this question, that it is not my prerogative to say who's saved.
Amen.
And I read some things in the Word of God that bother me sometimes. And sometimes I've gone in my Christian life, which is almost a half century now, 48, going on 49 years, in which I have not wanted to obey God in a certain area that I have read. And it takes me a while to come to that. But I try to come to it quicker today than I did then, because I'm closer to the grave today than I was then. Amen?
Amen.
So when we say that God has the prerogative, only God can judge. Actually, he's committed all judgment to the Son. Jesus will do the judging.
Yeah.
But all we have to go by
is his word.
Is the word.
Yeah.
That's all we got to go by. So we're not judging anybody, but we are looking at the word.
Yeah, you're comparing the life to the word.
Sure. And so it says, he who believes, that's the first thing,
mm-hmm.
and is baptized, that's the second thing, shall be saved, or will be saved. So there's an order, I think. And that's part of my personality, and by the way, my spiritual giftedness.
Mm-hmm. Are we carrying over from last night?
We are. We are kind of because my spiritual gift, I believe, is one of prophet or prophecy, not foretelling the future,
mm-hmm.
but forthtelling.
Yeah.
Now that can go over into some other areas, which we'll look at next Wednesday night.
This is branching out everywhere.
Oh my! So he who believes and is baptized will be saved. I'm a stickler for doing things in the order the Bible says to do them.
Yeah. Says believe first.
It really does. It's like me telling you, Timotheus, would you push the button over there to turn the power on to the board and then hook my headphones up?
Yeah. If I hook headphones up first, I don't turn on the power, it's not going to do any good.
Not got any power. Those are simple illustrations, but I think they're important for people to see. So there's an order, believes, baptism, salvation. If those coming out to John's baptism refused to be baptized, they wouldn't have been saved, I don't believe. If Jesus had refused to be baptized, he would not have pleased the Father, because Jesus said it behooves us, when John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. You come to me, and Jesus said, suffer it to be so now, but it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And God was pleased with him, and the Holy Spirit came. I want you to notice, Timotheus, when the Holy Spirit fell upon Jesus, it was after the baptism and coming up out of the water. Mm-hmm. That's just I notice things like that. I think we should.
It didn't come beforehand.
Not beforehand. Yeah. So there's an order to things. What about those who get saved? Now, I'm a nitpicker. You know I'm a nitpicker.
I know.
He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Saved is the last word in that verse. Now, the next part of the question from the querist is, what about those who get saved but can't be baptized? Oftentimes, when we talk about somebody being saved, so-and-so got saved the other night, really what they're saying is they turned their heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't correct people when they say that, but that really is not totally accurate. If someone is saved without obeying the commandments of God, then great. But how can that be? According to the Word. I'm just asking. Anyway, what about those who get saved but can't be baptized? Can't be baptized. Like people in wheelchairs. I've known of people getting baptized in wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. I've known of people that got out of the wheelchair and three or four brothers helped him in the baptistry and we baptized him. Or sick on their deathbeds.
Mm-hmm.
That happens, no doubt, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's up to the Lord. He knows their heart. He knows their motivation. He knows their mental condition. He knows all of those things. But I'll tell you something. He also knows if I have lived 60, 70, 80 years, and I've thumbed my nose at God, and then I get sick, and all of a sudden some preacher asks me, do you believe in the Lord? Do you want to go to heaven?
And you're dying and you're scared.
Yeah. So the Lord understands all of that, and he will judge that. Not me, not you, Timotheus. Not any of our listeners. Proverbs chapter 1. The querist goes on to say, I know baptism doesn't save you. Well, over in the book of Peter, Peter compares baptism to the water that lifted up Noah's ark.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Now, I realize that he wasn't saying that the only thing that is important is baptism,
yeah,
but he's not minimizing it either.
Amen.
Just as water saved Noah and his family in the ark, so baptism saves us. I believe that when a person hears the word of God and believes the word of God, turns their life to Jesus, receives him into their heart, that's known as repentance, they've changed their life, willing to stand and boldly proclaim what they believe in their heart, then they are, you take that person who has just died to sin.
Mm-hmm.
They've turned their back on the world. They're dead to it.
And at that point, before baptism, where are they in your opinion?
Where are they is on their way to obedience.
There you go.
Total obedience to Christ, and baptism is the final step. Now, that doesn't mean that baptism is all that's important, because if that person hadn't confessed his sins to the Lord, if that person hadn't repented, then where are you? Timotheus, I've baptized a lot of people who never repented.
Just got wet.
They just got wet.
Yeah.
So repentance is a major part of that. So here we've got a person that's saying, but does the baptism part have to be fulfilled to get to heaven? Again, God will make that determination, but I can't imagine anybody wanting to stand before God, knowing that baptism is a command, and willfully deciding not to do it. That is a willful sin. As far as the other situations where someone dies in an automobile accident, all those kinds of things. Folks, only God knows the answer to all of that.
Yeah.
But I personally don't want to stand before God not having obeyed what I know to do. The Bible says, he who knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin.
It's kind of like a recipe.
It is.
If you think about it, you have the ingredients.
Yeah.
But if you don't put the ingredients together and just throw something in the oven, that's not going to work.
That's too simple.
If you put all the ingredients together and you don't put it in the oven, That's not going to work.
That's too simple. But you know what? Man rejects those simple analogies, but that is exactly the way it is. If we would use that same logic in studying the Bible, we would really do much better.
Have someone calling in. I'm sorry, folks, but we are out of time this morning. We want to thank you for joining us for God's Point of View presented by the Highland Church of Christ, late 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services. Sunday school gets underway Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Sunday evening worship service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. And you can join us then at the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. And don't forget about Looking to Jesus Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. right here at WSIP. Thanks again, rather, for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View.